Okay. Are you there? Can you hear me all right? Is everything okay in the studio? Is Earth still spinning on its axis? I'm just trying to check in. My system just dropped out here. I pulled it back up. I've reconnected, Todd. Can you hear me all right? Hello, hello?
Jeff?
Hi there. It's a voice of a friendly voice. I know this voice.
All right. Yes, you do.
We're up and running. It's a voice of a beautiful woman who is overworked and trying to help humankind, which is actually very heroic considering the humankind is gone for the most part. There's not much left of it, and it's being picked up, reformatted, what is left of it, by AI very, very fast. No joke. We've been talking about that quite a bit. How are you, Nurse Ann?
I am doing very well. I'm just exceptionally tired a lot now from working in the hospital. I'm pretty short-staffed every night.
Short-staffed. What an unusual surprise. Well, tell me, what hospital is fully staffed? Are there any?
I would believe not, because every day I get all of these requests from various recruiters all over the nation, and I think that it is a national problem within the U.S. and probably all over the world as well, but most definitely here within the U.S.
Yeah, it's not good. Looking around the world, here are just a few headlines. COVID injected, stabbed, jabbed, COVID vaccinated people are collapsing and dying in public all over China now. That's coming back. Cemeteries are said to be nearly full. This was a month or two ago. So it's still going on, but it's obviously been blacked out in the mainstream media. They're not talking about it. They're just not talking about it. And no surprise, this is how they play the game. It's all about information. Whether it's truthful and honest information or not, information is the control mechanism by which they run the show. They let it out, and then they pull it back in. Whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter, because most people, unfortunately, live in a world of reality that is not real. It's their creation. So, anyway.
Yeah, and it's an interesting situation, Jeff. Just very recently, I was looking into another job, and the recruiter was going back and forth with me on the job, and then he basically said to me, "Well, have you had your COVID vaccine?" And I said, "No, and I'm not planning on getting it." And then he says, "And what about the flu vaccine? Because they require all this." And I said, "If they require this, I don't need the job that badly." So apparently, there is still people, recruiters more so than probably the hospital itself. You know, the agencies.
That's disgusting. That really
is.
What did he
disgusting.
Say when he said that? Well, how did he react?
I had already gone so many steps with them for the particular job, and he said to me, "But we've gone so far. You're almost ready to be submitted for this position." And I said, "You know what? I don't want it that badly." And I said, "It's shameful that you're pushing such a horrible thing on people, knowing full well that it has killed and murdered so many people." I said, good luck trying to find
that.
Help.
Good job. Good job. Well, he'll never forget that. That's the way it ought to be. People should be talking up to these. These people are just dreadful, terrible people. I'm really surprised that he waited that long in the process to spring that on you. I guess they did it on purpose, so you'd be desperate for the money, they'd think, and you'd say, "Well, no, I didn't, but I'll sure get one. No problem."
Mm-hmm.
One with you?
Yeah.
Let's get it.
Yeah. I would not be at all surprised that he thought that, I was going to break and bend and say, "Oh, absolutely, because I need this job so badly that breaks my back and everything." Yeah. No, he was totally shocked when I said, "It's okay, I don't need the job that badly."
Well, you're the example that all other professionals should be looking up to, but unfortunately for most of them, they've already been shot up, so it's too late.
It's too late. It's too late for a lot of staff, nurses, doctors, yeah. and patients. So it's too late for a lot of
well,
the population.
Well, we've
at this
watched
point.
This now for, well, we're into our fourth year since they really rolled it out in 2021, and I'm just wondering, some of the things I see fairly often suggest that up to 30% of the expected life expectancy of the injectee is gone. That whatever time they had left, you can chop that by about a third. Any comment on that? Does that make sense to you?
I think a lot of them are already dead, Jeff, because...
Well, I concur. I'm talking about the ones that are still alive. Yeah, I concur.
The ones that are still alive are very, very ill and very, very, very sick. And they're not beating this. They're not going to beat this. They're too sick to beat this now. And it goes across the board. It doesn't matter whether you're old or young. It's and I mean we have nightly codes at the hospital. They're nightly. It's not
people are dying every night in the hospital.
Every night, and it's codes every
single
night.
Well, would you? All right, well, I don't care what they put on the death certificate. What do you think they're really dying of? The injections? Is it these are just?
They're not going to admit to that. They're
no,
not
no.
going to admit to this. But they're
right.
What they're putting on the. Usually it's cardiac related, saying
sure.
that they had cardiac arrests, or they threw pulmonary emboli, which is a classic.
Oh, they have
form.
Dozens of ways to lie their way out of it. I get it.
Strokes, all the classics. So and other things like we're seeing tons of cancers, like you wouldn't believe. Tons of cancers, you name it. And it's not just in one location, it's all over. So by the time we're seeing these people, they've already got the cancer, and it's already spread.
Oh, my. All right.
Yeah.
So what this is doing after 4 years, it's manifesting into an ever broader section of the vaccinated public, which is probably around 80% in this country, 75 to 80% have taken the shot. So cancer, this is a carcinogenic bioweapon. There's no question about that. And it's causing cancer. So you're seeing more and more cancers. Now, these cancers, would you describe them as turbo or both kinds, if there are kinds here?
Yeah, it's definitely turbo cancers. People who never had cancer in their families are having cancer for no apparent reason. Like they're going in for something into the hospital for something else, getting worked up for something else, and then they'll do a CAT scan or an MRI, and they'll find they'll either have a brain tumor or they'll have some form of lung cancer. It's no accident. But unfortunately for them, we're finding it out way too late.
Oh, I don't remember back in all the material that has been covered about turbo cancers that it's reversible and it's hardly reversible. I've never heard of many cases being reversed, frankly, because it's running amok. There's something different about it. Is it because it's being fueled by the spike protein and its efforts to tear down the immune system and override the P53? What's going on? Why is turbo cancer so fast, so quick, and so fatal to so many people? What's different about it? Have you been able to come up with any ideas on this?
Well, the P53 was mostly directly related to women and their the breast cancer for the most part, but that was my understanding anyway. But what the cancers we're seeing now are primarily, I'm going to tell you, for the men out there, this is not going to be good because we're primarily seeing a lot of prostatic cancer. So the men are the people that are getting hit. Now, that's not to say the women are not getting hit either. We're seeing both sexes, but the men, the rate of prostate cancer is through the roof.
Well, you know, here's another thing. If you watch any internet programming for any length of time, you're going to run into commercials about prostate relief for men. You're getting up 3 or 4
yes.
times a night, take this product, read this book, whatever, drink this fluid, and you'll be better and you'll sleep all night. Well, it just doesn't work that way for most people. Now, what you're saying here is that normally prostate enlargement is benign in males. It happens. It's common. That's historically what we've seen. But now I get the idea that many of these enlarged prostate conditions are malignant. They're growing because they're cancerous. That's what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. That is exactly what I'm saying. And I'm saying that they're growing at an exponentially high rate.
Wow.
From what we had seen previously.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, this has all been talked about at great length on this program for a long time, and Nurse Ann is right there to watch it. Anything new? That's new to me, that prostate malignancies, prostate cancers, turbo prostate cancers, to be exact, are now a very frontline issue that seems to be exploding. What else? Any other types of cancer?
So prostate cancer is high, lung cancer, kidney cancer, liver cancer, and then the tumors they find in the brain, which usually as a result of a fall, they think they've possibly had a stroke or something,
uh-huh.
and they work them up and they find that they have a tumor in the brain. So it's all over the map. And then also,
wow.
they're seeing high cases of bone cancer, too, which is very, it's already
bone
well advanced.
Bone cancer, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Well advanced.
And well advanced? All right.
Yeah, well advanced.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm trying to get everything out here. That's not good either. This is all looking very much like this bioweapon was a carcinogen from the beginning. And we did cover how it worked, how it suppressed the immune system and so forth, and opened the door to malignancies. That seems to have been, if anything, almost an understatement from what you're saying. These people who come in, who gets to tell them that they've got turbo cancer of this, that, or the other thing? Is that something that falls under your purview, or do the doctors usually do it?
No,
they should.
The doctors have to make the call, and they're the ones who will actually have to tell the patients.
I see.
Even with the testing, and even though I would have seen the testing and the notes and all of that, and I would know what the results were, I can't even talk about the results to the patients.
I see. Well, you certainly watch the reaction.
Mm.
Can't be good.
It's never a good situation. Plus, we're seeing people really young. So in the last week, I give
really
you an
young,
example.
Really young with really, cancer, turbo
really
cancers.
Young.
How young?
Now, I'm in an adult unit, so
yeah.
I'm seeing patients that my youngest was 26. And this is in the last week, 26, 33, and a 34-year-old all have been seen for cancer. But the list of other problems that came with that was mm-hmm. unbelievable. If you just pick the chart up and you read the medical record and what they presented and what's mm-hmm. going on with them, you would think it was a 90-year-old person you were looking at. And then you walk in the room and it's a 33-year-old or
so this is a massively broad brush takedown of life mm-hmm. as we knew it. This
yep.
weapon has done nothing but get worse and progress as, well, you and I, we talked about this a long time ago. It seems to be intensifying, spreading, taking no prisoners at all, and getting worse. And yet in the mainstream media, the reality that they would like us to believe is that it's no problem. The whole COVID thing is pretty much over. Nothing to worry about. Mm-hmm. Keep moving right along and be happy. No. If the hospitals are that busy, that understaffed, and that many people are coding, dying, this is obviously going on coast to coast. This is not just in your area.
It's going all over. Yeah. I would concur with that. And nobody's talking about it. Like, the population is really sick. And
the population is really uninformed, and tragically so, but because this is being done intentionally. That's the part that I think is the most difficult. Nobody has a chance. What they're turning up here, apparently, is what you're saying, is they're turning up turbo-advanced matriculated cancers in not just one area necessarily. It spreads. You've mentioned five or six key areas. So
correct.
It goes. It doesn't slow down.
Yeah. Like, I can give you an example. I have the 34-year-old. I'll give you an example of how this case presented. And I'm going to just read to you how this person presented to the hospital. And you would think you were going to walk into a room that was somebody that was over 90.
Okay, let me say this. What you're going to hear from Nurse Anne is common. This is not rare. Usually, if a 30- to 40-year-old presents with cancer. Well, first of all, that's not common. It shouldn't be, unless they've been injected.
No.
Then it's common now. But it shouldn't be. And it would be one thing, usually a slow-moving cancer that at least they'll have 4 or 5 years to do their cut, slash, and burn therapy and try. Not that I'm a big fan of that under any circumstance. But now they go in there, and they're given a short fuse. They're in dire condition. Go ahead, and I think what we're going to hear is a shocker. I'm very much looking forward to hearing this by way of education. I want to know. This is very interesting. Go ahead.
All right. So this is the 34-year-old that presented to the emergency room with being hypoxic, meaning it's very short of breath and not needing supplemental oxygen.
Okay, so this guy, shows up at the ER. He says, I'm having trouble getting enough breath. I'm having shortness of breath. And that was it. And then they started working him up from there. Okay.
Right. Correct. So he, in his history, he goes on to tell the doctors in the ED that he's had already, at the age of 31, a coronary artery bypass graft.
Oh, what?
Yes.
Oh, no. And then, when did this happen? 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
So when he was 31, he had that.
He's 33 now?
He's 34-year-old now.
So he had it in 2021.
So he then went on
after
to
he was injected, friends. After he was injected. All right.
Yes. Yes, he had multiple vaccinations. I counted six on his record. Multiple.
Oh my!
This clinical picture gets much worse. So then he also, after he had his coronary artery bypass graft, he ended up going into heart failure. So from that, he ended up having more complications with breathing issues and fluid around the heart. This compromised him more cardiac-wise, and he ended up going into an arrhythmia that required him to have a pacemaker placed in the following year after he had his coronary artery bypass graft.
Unreal. Unreal.
Now he has a consistent diagnosis of congestive heart failure on his chart since. He has now got a history of high blood pressure. He has diabetes, which requires him to get insulin. He has been in and out of the hospital multiple times due to the heart failure and the arrhythmia. He ended up not wanting to take the insulin anymore, and that made more complications for him. And so he ended up with nasty wounds, foot wounds, which ended up causing him to go septic and required a hospital stay of a month in the ICU due to sepsis.
I don't believe what I'm hearing. These are like, we could call them bed sores, but he wasn't bedbound, right?
He was able to walk and by himself and do everything for himself, and he was able to cook and clean and everything. And now he ended up with two nasty wounds on his feet. He's very, very lucky that they were able to save his toes, because he was actually starting, they were debating about amputation of his toes. They were able to save them.
Now, this is one of your patients.
This is one of my patients.
Has he connected the dots? Must have.
Not right away. Because I went in, I've had him for a number of weeks now. But I was in the hospital and I would talk to him about, when did you start to really see you were going downhill? And then I would like casually say, you know, so you were really healthy up until that point. You know, you were running around, you were involved in sports. He wasn't overweight at that point, but he's overweight now because of all of the problems he had. And just depression hit him as well, as you can imagine.
Sure.
So he ended up in all of this. So we're in and we're talking. I go, so prior to all of this, prior to the age of 31, you were a fully active young man doing everything you wanted to do for yourself. You were a healthy young man. And he confirmed it. He had a job and he was doing well. And then all of this, it went from bad to worse. So
I want to point out that what Nurse Ann said, this guy's had 5 or 6 shots. Don't think of them as boosters. They're just another dose. That's all they are. Just another dose. It's not a specific booster shot you're getting. This poor guy is being murdered. This is slow motion, but it's still fast. Anything else to add to that litany of what would be a failing 90-year-old man or woman? You're right. You're exactly right.
Yeah. And then the final straw hit, which was on the 23rd of May, he had a seizure. And apparently they decided to do a CAT scan and do an EEG, and they found a tumor, and they had a brain tumor. And neurology is currently following him. And he confessed last week to me when I had him that he just wants to die. He just wants to kill himself. So, of course, once he made that statement, psych was called in to talk to him.
Did they have to put a suicide watch person in the room all the time with him?
He had all the things removed from his room that potentially he could use.
I knew about that. Most people don't. They do that. They don't. They take that very seriously. If somebody says, "I want to die," somebody will be in that room virtually around the clock with the person.
Yeah.
They just sit there,
sitting right by their bed. Yeah.
Yeah.
The cord that the call bell had used for the calling for the nurses, that's taken out of the wall. The window blinds was taken down because there's a string in the window blinds. The soap is removed from the room. Rails on the bed are padded in case there's any kind of edges that he might use to try and cut himself.
Right.
No, he's not allowed to have any silverware. When he gets his food, he can only have plastic forks and spoons.
And it doesn't mean that this man is actually going to try to kill himself. He's so depressed, and obviously with good reason, about the tragic destruction of his life. Why wouldn't he say that? That's not a surprise. You've heard that before, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Probably too many times to count. And this is more and more the case. These people, I don't know how I don't know how they do as well as they do, and I'm not saying they're doing well at all, because they're not. They're dying. But they're still hanging in there. Medical science is doing everything it can to try to treat these horrible developments that are, well, they're the end. He's got a brain tumor now. How much time does he have? Not much. He knows it. He's got to know it.
Yeah.
This guy's a wreck. You're right. It's like a 90-year-old. Yeah.
You would think it was somebody who had lived an entire life. And then on that same night that he had the seizure, he became hypotensive. His blood pressure just dropped like a rock. And then his saturation levels dropped as well. So he was requiring more extra oxygen in addition to the nasal cannula.
Right.
We had to give him more oxygen.
This is sad.
It just went from bad to worse. I don't think he's going to leave that hospital. That's what I think.
No, it doesn't. Where would he go? Who's going to take care of somebody in that bad of
No, I don't think he's going to leave alive. He's not going to leave alive from that hospital.
No.
Because his comorbidities are so bad. Mm-hmm. And every day that he's there, there's there's worse news every day that he's there.
All right. Let me move back slightly to something you said about his psychology. He's been depressed, of course, talks about wanting to die. That doesn't mean he's necessarily going to do it. We have a big reflex against doing that. But the hospitals, and this is all hospitals, you have to notify the psych ward. They'll put somebody in that room 24/7 with that patient. You heard what Nurse Ann said. They'll take everything out of the room that could possibly be a weapon to be used by the patient on him or herself. Now, this story you've just outlined for us, how common, not with specifics, but how common in general are people in the 20s, 30s, and 40s who have taken these shots reacting like this now, with turbo cancer, with diabetes that comes on, with pneumonias, you name it, and then we've got brain tumor, dozens of things. It's like the Grim Reaper with a scythe. It just goes through the field
person,
of people. It just cuts them down. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, if you're seeing a young person that young coming into the hospital presenting with those kind of problems, it's not good for that young person. And so the incidents, if you're presenting to the hospital like that, the odds are that the outlook or prognosis is not going to be good for you. I mean, that patient, when I read that chart, without reading his age, I would have thought that person was like over 90 years of age. I'm not kidding you. And I'm saying, and that was the 34-year-old. The 33-year-old read almost something similar. Now, the only thing I would say about her was that she was lucky in that she hadn't had the cancer yet, of a diagnosis. But I'm just saying she had everything else. She had the heart problems. She had the hypertension. She was septic, so she was in ICU and she was requiring to be on the ventilator for some time. She could not transition to just regular room air. She was requiring to go on BiPAP at night. She had developed an arrhythmia, which was she had an enlarged heart, and she was in atrial fibrillation. Now she was requiring to be put on an anticoagulation therapy for that.
Right, right.
So her situation, and she's 33. And her situation was just equally as bad. The one big thing was that she did not get the diagnosis of cancer yet. And I say that only because she's vaccinated. Like, couldn't talk to this lady at all. At least I could talk to the young man. Like I said, I started to make him think about what had happened, but it's almost too late. It's too late now anyway. But he was healthy prior to all of that, before he started taking vaccinations.
Let me put this out there. How many people, Nurse Anne has worked at a number of the biggest hospitals in the Northeast. We'll leave it at that. She's been at this for decades. She's, how many years? 35 plus? 35 years?
Nearly 30. Yeah.
30.
Nearly 30
Coming up
years.
On 30. All right. You know, she's a pro. How many people who obviously have been injected with this terrible weapon of death and destruction have come into the hospital and reversed their condition and been sent home with a clean bill of health? Now, don't laugh at me. I'm just putting that out there.
That never happens.
Thank you.
That never happens. They're coming into the hospital with their situation, and they're probably going home with something else that might be something that was added to their diagnosis while they were in the hospital. But they're not going home with a clean bill of health.
See, what's going on, dear friends, and many of you listening right now have taken one or more of these shots. It's just a fact. The people who have begun to physiologically decline from the spike protein and certainly the mRNA's role in creating the spike in the body by the body's own cells, and when the spike goes and latches on to another cell with the ACE2 receptor or any other receptor, the body's T lymphocytes will go after that cell because it's now been marked as a diseased cell. It's an enemy cell, and it needs to be destroyed. So your body is literally destroying your own neurology, your own major organs, your brain, and I'm being superficial about this just to keep it simple because people don't understand. But once the spike begins to take the body down, it seems to be a never-ending cascade and a very quick cascade in far too many cases. There's no way out of this, and I hate to sound negative. There's no reversing it. That's why I ask Nurse Anne, how many people have gone home having reversed whatever they were in there for, if it's related to the shot, and most of these are, have gone home and been told, you're going to be okay. It just doesn't happen. And so what the hell are these poor people supposed to do mentally, emotionally? They know their government has lied to them. They know that the alarmists in the beginning were right, that they were wrong. They're going to lose their friends. They're going to lose their lives. They're going to lose everything. I don't know how there aren't more, honestly, true suicides. And maybe there are. I don't know. But to know and have to confront the fact that your government has done this to you is beyond my ability to comprehend. I can't even imagine trying to deal with that. For the true believers, nah, the government would never harm me. There's nothing wrong with these shots. I don't want COVID. So they get them. And now they're getting visits from the Grim Reaper. I don't know how many people are dying. We'll never know. They won't tell us. I think, personally, that in the
last... Just watch the funeral homes. You'll see.
Yes.
Day there's a funeral here.
Correct.
I've heard that.
Now, let me say this. I think it's possible that in the last 3 to 4 years, we might have lost 10% of our population to these shots. No one's talking about it. No one's keeping track of it. And I'll ask you this. If out of 350 million people, 1 out of 10 were to have disappeared in the last 4 years, how many of you would have noticed that? Honestly,
yeah.
Not many.
No.
Now you've got all these illegal aliens here, the invaders, taking up some of the slack. There are bodies out there. You're not going to know. We don't know how many people have been murdered by this vax. We don't know. And the 5.5 billion people on the planet have been given these shots. And there is reason to suggest that everyone who has taken a viable, valid injection of this COVID genetic death are facing a far, far shorter life than they would have had otherwise. And I'll stop right there.
Yeah, I would concur with that, to be honest. I would say that it is very unfortunate that the patients who are in the hospital are going home sicker. The ones they're the ones, the lucky ones in some ways, they make it to the hospital. A lot of patients don't even make it to the hospital. Some people are dying at home.
They die at home, and
it's too late for them.
And so, you will not see in the death notice, in the newspaper, or wherever you see it, you won't see it on the death certificate, died of COVID vax. You're not going to see it.
Yeah. It's rather incredible. And then I have another case then, and this was a young 34-year-old female. She has the most strangest diseases I'd ever seen. I actually had to look it up because I did not know. But
injected, I assume. Yes.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Uh-huh. She had taken Moderna and
Pfizer.
Pfizer. Yeah. Yeah. And then the boosters. So she's only 34. And this is what the frightening thing is. She presents like a very old woman, but based on her medical history. So she presented with shortness of breath and exertion for 2 days. She feels that she must have accidentally aspirated something while she was having her meals. So in the ED, they did a chest x-ray, and it showed that she had aspiration pneumonia. Well, come to find out, she also had a history. This is her history right here, medical history. High blood pressure, COPD and asthma, obstructive sleep apnea, a thing called Strickler syndrome. I never knew anything about it, so I had to look it up. It's a genetic connective tissue disorder, something that was newly diagnosed back in 2022. Spastic paraplegia and on the lower extremities. So she can't really walk. This is a 34-year-old we're talking about.
Unreal.
And then she also has ovarian uterine cancer.
Well, you're making the point abundantly clear. The people who have taken the shots are beginning to be taken out now.
Mm-hmm.
Sad.
Yep. Yeah, and the thing is that leads to other problems for them too, because then she went on to have a lot of psych issues later on because of all that, because she was so sick all the time. She was so ill all the time. She ended up cutting herself, apparently, deliberately cutting herself.
Mm-hmm.
Had to have a psych evaluation while at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
She said that the cutting was happening at home. She didn't try and make any attempts while she was in the hospital. But she's reached the point of where she feels she has no life,
no future.
Either.
No.
No future. And she's 34.
It's just unbelievable to hear these things over and over, and they're common coast to coast, and not just in this country. This is a worldwide problem, I'm sure. It's happening all over the place, and no one's talking about it. It's a huge secret. All right, let me go to the psychological aspect of this. There are reports, and we've talked about them in the past on the program here, of many, many people who have either taken the shot or come down with the COVID virus, that synthetic bioweapon virus that was manufactured, put together, and designed to do what it's doing. It's killing people. So either one, you're in trouble. They're both genetic bioweapons. They're both manufactured, pretty much, if you can look at it honestly. And these people psychologically are not the same. It started early on. They said, I don't recognize my mother anymore. We used to read stories like that. Or my father, or my spouse, whatever. People change. They often become hostile. They're just not the same. So there's something going on in the brain. And I think it's quite clear what it is. The spike protein will cause a normal protein in the body, when it meets up with one, to become a prion protein. And that prion protein, of course, can settle down anywhere in the body and start causing more healthy proteins to turn into prion proteins. But if it gets locked, located in the brain, you've got mad cow disease. You've got brain death underway. And that may be part of the reason that a lot of people have lost their personality, lost their attitude about life. They become very negative. They're hostile. They fight. Anything you can add about the idea of personalities changing? I know you've got a whole footlocker full of material, but I want to say one other thing. I know two people now who have gotten either shed upon or, and I don't think they've gotten a shot, so it has to be shedding. They've gotten this COVID virus, and they have changed dramatically. It's two guys, yeah. And they're not the same. And I'm telling you, it's not me. It's they are not the same. They don't email anymore. They don't act like they remember a friendship, you know, for many years. It's just bizarre. Please go ahead. Yeah. Tell us your views on this.
Yeah, it's definitely a chronic problem. We have on a unit of 34 beds. And on a nightly basis, we'll have like three people right out at the nurse's station in their beds with a sitter case because they're just gone totally AWOL. They're basically, their behaviors are violent. They're hitting people. They're just impulsive. Most of the time, they have no idea where they are. They don't recognize their families. They won't recognize us as caregivers. We're seen as something else. You know, they don't want to take their pills because they're convinced that somebody's trying to poison them or whatever. But the behaviors are off the chain. They've never been as many behaviors in the entire hospital that I'm working in right now. Like we see on a nightly basis, yeah, and it's across the board. It's in the ED, it's in the ICU, it's on all the med-surg floors, it's everywhere. And the amount of staff and resources it uses to try and protect these patients from getting hurt is unreal. But the problem is there's nothing really we can do other than try and manage them behaviors. How do you manage them? You're basically sedating them.
You sedate them, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
You're sedating them.
You turn them into a zombie vegetable to protect them and to protect those around them. This is not a joke. I still feel, and I've always said this, that people have been told from the beginning that, oh, if you get COVID, don't worry, it's just like the flu. It'll be gone in a few days and you'll be fine. It doesn't work that way. Now they're talking about long COVID. Well, you had COVID in 2022 and you're still suffering the effects. What's happening, you've got spike infestation and other things, and your body is beginning to break down. That's long COVID. I don't know anybody who's gotten past long COVID to recover full and vibrant, vigorous health. Do you?
Well, you know, I wonder about that whole long COVID thing, too.
Because I think it's long spike, Anne.
I would call it long spike. Yeah. And I would say it's long spike, and I would actually say your immune system has been destroyed. And it's open season for whatever other infection, like bacterial.
Yeah.
And viruses that are out there that it can attack your system. It's open season. So, like, we're getting patients, and they're in isolation rooms, and they're showing up for, like, the strangest kind of bugs that the hospital has to treat. And it's incredible. And one of the bigger problems is it's the fungal ones. Like, if the fungal infection gets inside of the body at all, that is a nightmare to treat. They're really, really difficult. Now, we have antifungal medications, but it's on a grand scale of how bad the these infections are that take over the body. And it's all related to the fact that the immune system is totally shattered.
I think that's as plain and clear as you can state it. Fungal infections, now for those of you, and that's most of you, who have toenail fungus, I don't think that's what Nurse Anne is talking about here. There are many other kinds of funguses that can cause big problems. I don't know about black fungus in a home. Would that be something that could transmit into a potential problem too?
Many homes have black fungus. Yeah, it could be a problem especially if you're already respiratory compromised in some way. For example, uh-huh. The asthmatics, the people who have the smokers, the people who have those COPD, those people are already going to be in a situation where they're very compromised. So that could place them at risk for sure.
Got it.
I know when I was working as a case manager, I remember I worked for an insurance company as a case manager many years ago. And mm-hmm. one of the things was we would send people out to the patients' homes to evaluate if they had mold or fungus or something within the home, because if they were it was a respiratory patient for sure, mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. we'd have to try and make arrangements for somebody to go in and treat the home, or otherwise they'd have to find an alternative place to live.
I don't find anything wrong with that. Again, most people are unaware of what's hiding behind their walls, and that stuff can be circulating through the house. And yeah, a lot of people are probably sick from within. They don't know they're being made sick by their home. I think that's probably more common than most people would guess. All right, we have just a couple minutes left. We've touched on the horrors of young people being just executed by these shots. I don't know how else to phrase it. They don't have a chance. They don't. And it's mm-hmm. the spike doesn't go away. The mRNA instructions that cause your body's cells to produce it nonstop don't go away. They're somehow replicating as well. And now they're talking about mRNA vaccines that would be self-amplifying, which means that the mRNA would replicate itself. That's another death sentence waiting to happen. And they're going to apparently try to make all common vaccines mRNA at some point, or most all of them. And I think we're to a point now where I don't have a personal problem saying that there's no such thing as a good vaccine. I don't have a problem saying that. I don't know that vaccines do anybody any good.
Based on the research I've seen, I'm not seeing any foolproof reason why you would take vaccines at all. But it's frightening to think what they're doing to the children and the babies, and it's horrific to think about it. And that's the other thing. I mentioned about the codes that are called out in the hospital. We had one last week in the OB, so the patient delivered the baby and they were already coding the baby. So, I mean, it's not just old people. It's not old people just coding in the hospital. It's everybody. It's young and old. It's infants and it's children.
I don't know how you do it. I'm glad you do.
It's a difficult job. It's very hard because I do get attached to people, and it's frightening to see what they're going through. And it's frightening to see how debilitated the young people have got. That's the frightening part.
Right.
I look at them and I think, you know, your chart says you're 34. You look like you could be 94. Are you seem like you could be 94? It's just frightening.
I don't know what to say. They're finding now spike in people 3 and 4 years after the injection, and I think also several years after having acquired the COVID synthetic virus, that bioweapon virus. The spike is still in the body. They're not selling an over-the-counter, quick, easy spike test. You notice that you can buy them, but I don't know how they work, but... I don't think they want people to know how widespread spike is. I think it's in the majority of people. How big that majority is, I don't know. But you have to be careful. Here's another quickie. Top veterinarian drops bombshell. This is a quote. Animal vaccines are designed to euthanize our pets. The law is forcing people to kill their pets, but I will not do that, said the veterinarian. And I think he has a point. I think we can almost extrapolate that to people. I don't think you can't give a little child, a baby just born. How many do the babies that are just born get in the first few days? How many shot? How many alleged vaccines? What is it? Half a dozen? I don't know.
I think it's I think it is up to about 12, but or six or between 6 and 12. But the thing about it is the parents have to speak up. But everybody, the parents are so as misled as anybody else. And like I had hoped that RFK, when he got in there, that he would break that thing wide open, and he's not doing it. And they continue to force people to take this vaccine. For example, someone like myself who was looking for a job somewhere else, that they were insisting, well, the hospital is insisting that everybody be up to date on their vaccines. I mean, this is horrendous. They're still continuing this story, this narrative.
Well, I can't suggest to anybody what to do, but I would not take a vaccine under any circumstances anymore. No way. Nor if I was advising somebody who had a dog or a cat, no vaccines. Keep them away from other dogs. Take good care of your pet. Keep them healthy. Feed them quality food. And don't shoot them up with this crap. I think it's killing them. I agree with this vet. This guy's not dumb.
Yeah, I see it on Facebook all the time. I see it about everybody who's my dog was only 6 years old and he passed away.
There you go.
And I remembered my own horrible experience where I took my own dog, and they shot my poor dog up with all these vaccines. It was a time when I couldn't go in, and when he came home, he couldn't sit, he couldn't stand, he couldn't lie. I was so upset, and. So my advice is the same. Do not take your pet to the vets that are pushing vaccines.
No, I agree. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being here, old friend, and we'll have you back anytime you'd like. It's very valuable to have you on. The information is hidden otherwise. We don't hear it.
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. Anytime.
Okay, Ann. Thank you. Good night.
You too. Good night.
Nurse Ann, there's a hero for you. And there are people in the nursing profession who are just putting it out there every damn day. And then there are a lot of them who shouldn't be in that profession. That's life today. All right, hold on. We'll continue.